I always liked the story of the prince of a city who had assigned a particular servant the one and only task of following him around and reminding him at key points, "Remember, Your Majesty, that you will die." It sounds like that servant had a pretty basic and pretty easy job. However, he would not only have had to say those words on a regular basis, he would have had to be able to discern when to say them. He would have to have some kind of insight into those moments when his master was particularly tempted to depend on his royal status or his wealth rather than on the needs of his people. The Latin term for remember that you will die is memento mori. There have been communities where Christians have greeted each other this way. Instead of good morning, how are you? It would be good morning, remember that you will die. No matter how cheerfully you say it, that can sound morbid or negative. But if we listen carefully to God today, He could save us for eternal life. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, God is speaking not just to the people of Israel like we are used to, but also to other nations. He speaks to the rest of the nations about the eternal values of the kingdom of heaven and the false values of the world. The king of Tyre has set himself up as a god, but God mocks him. "I am a god," you say, "yet you are mortal. You don't seem to know that you will die. And while you live, you imagine yourself as having divine wisdom. Oh yes, you have wisdom all right, but your wisdom is only about the ways to be successful in the world that will be lost to you when you die, as you surely must. All you have done with this wisdom is amass earthly wealth. But I tell you that you will be crushed by the hand of foreigners, and you will have no control over your life or your death." The psalmist today reminds us about the one who has true authority over life and death. Spoiler alert, it's not us. Even the most powerful in the world. It is not just the most wealthy or the powerful who are tempted by this wisdom. It is indeed all of us. We are part of a culture that seeks its highest ideals in the wisdom and knowledge of this world. As we discover many things, we imagine that we have less and less need of God, or even that we are a kind of God we imagine ourselves. Jesus, of course, is concerned with those who feel secure while keeping the Lord at arm's length, making wealth or the pursuit of it a roadblock to eternal life. "How hard it is for a rich man to enter heaven," he says. "It's harder than a camel, the largest domesticated animal, going through the eye of a needle." St. Thomas More thought that it was an error of translation. He thought that the Greek word translated camel was really a similar sounding word in Greek meaning a rope. That would make more sense in a way, since one could actually try to thread a needle with a rope, but would find it very difficult. Regardless of the translation, the challenge of wealth is that it usually takes a great deal of effort and a great deal of focus to obtain it. How hard it is not to be proud of the accomplishment of what we have gained through our efforts. Also, how hard it is to focus on the relationship with our Creator and God when we have spent so much of our focus on obtaining worldly goods. Our hearts gradually come to commit themselves to accumulation. That's why most of us have so much baggage that we have to get rid of before we die. Finally, perhaps we realize the saying that you can't take it with you. Finally, it hits us why the disciples were astounded at what Jesus said to them. If we are truly wise, finally it will hit us that we have depended on our riches, that we have become proud of our efforts to gain it. Jesus answers Peter's question, "What about us? What will we obtain?" with a Greek term for the future, which means a new beginning. The only other occurrence in the New Testament with the use of this Greek word, refers to the regeneration of the believer through baptism. We are typically living in fear of death right now because of COVID-19, a future death for us. But we have already died with Christ in baptism. As St. Paul says, the life I live now is no longer mine. We are now alive in Christ. We have already died. St. Thomas More was willing to give up his attachments, his freedom, his estate, even his life. So we might ask ourselves today, what can we do in our daily life and our daily prayer to keep a focus on what is most important? How can we today lessen our attachment on what is desired and sought after by the world, but which has no lasting value, and in fact may keep us from the surpassing value of eternal life? Well, I suppose we could ask a friend to follow us around and remind us, memento mori, remember that you will die. A bit impractical, although we might know somebody already who's willing to do that for us. We could come up with a memory tool catchphrase, something like, hold your material wealth lightly, hold your spiritual wealth tightly. We could say to ourselves daily in prayer, memento mori, remember that you will die. Remember that you have already died in Christ. Remember that you have also been raised to new life in him, not by your own wisdom or effort or wealth. I know that today, in the moments coming up, we could also make the prayer we are about to say at Mass very personal when we say it. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done in me as it is in heaven.